I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we are very happy to welcome back to our studios a guy who's been here a few times before, I think. It is Jamie Kahlstedt. Welcome, Jamie.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here.
And did we ever have you in us with Saint Anyway? I can't remember.
Yeah, Saint Anyway's been here.
Yeah, okay.
Once or twice.
Yeah, so that's the band that you might know Jamie from back when he was lived in these parts. You're from Cloquet originally. Mm-hmm. But you've been out east for quite some time, and although Saint Anyway did kind of do a reunion over the holidays, right?
Yeah.
Which I'm sad to have missed.
Oh, yeah.
How was it?
That was great. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was amazing how it all just comes right back. We were amazed. We got together for our first rehearsal. I think it had been about a year and a half, and we all played one song and looked around and we're like, okay.
Nice. And it's you, Tony Peterson, who's off with Social Animals right now, and then Dane Levinsky. Yep. So, well, that's fun that you guys were able to do that. Hope you get to do it again in the future.
Mm-hmm. We hope so, too.
But you are doing the solo thing right now. You have a new EP out called In the Belly of the Feast, and you're playing tonight at Sir Ben's at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with? Let's hear something, and then we'll come back. We've got a lot to chat about. You've put out two albums since you were last here, and you are working on another one, so we're going to be talking about all of that. But
okay. Yeah, and I'm going to play a song. It's about trains, and it's not from the new album, but maybe we'll get to that stuff later. The song is called Santa Fe.
Different than it was before. How can I still dream of you when you're out on that same old shore? Freight train, but still you rattle my floor.
That's Jamie Kahlstedt live from Studio A, and a train song. I always got to have a train song.
Yeah.
It's always a good thing to have. Was that inspired by an actual train trip or
No, it wasn't a trip. Like it was the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing those cars go by when I was growing up in Cloquet, the tracks were about two blocks away from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see it as much anymore, but at least when I was younger, they used to just have those big black letters on the side of the freight cars that said Santa Fe. And I'd look at that and think, wow, I wonder what that place is like.
Have you ever been there?
I've been once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it what you expected?
It was not an empty train yard. I thought all their trains were scattered across the country.
Uh-huh. Funny. Oh, that's funny. So, because they all said Santa Fe on there.
Well, I don't
so
know,
you
know what
empty
to expect.
Train yard. Yeah, there you go.
There's more to it than that.
Yeah. So you have that new EP out that I mentioned, which is In the Belly of the Feast, and it's kind of the sequel to one you did called River Songs, and weren't able to have you in when you had that one out, so we can talk about both projects. So River Songs was kind of inspired by driving up and down the Mississippi River, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was an odd job, and I've had plenty as a musician. And I was able to take these two dogs on a gig, driving them from my hometown, Cloquet, down to Louisiana, to New Orleans. And I did it three times, and it was incredible. I was able to follow the Mississippi River the whole way, and that really inspired those songs that came out. It's a beautiful landscape.
Did you have time to get out at various places and kind of check it out up close and personal?
Yeah, I was on a little bit of a schedule, but I had to stop and walk the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So we were stopping in state parks, along the riverbanks, rest stops, and I was trying to explore. You know, I'm a sucker for those brown signs. There's like a historical marker or something, and I usually try to stop.
Nice. And it changes so much as it goes south. I've only been on the northern parts of it, you know, where I've been to the headwaters and then it gets bigger. And so I can't even imagine what it's like down farther south.
Yeah, that's what's amazing. I feel that it changes so much from the little rivulet, you know, in Bemidji to this like mile wide thing down in Winona that's just sparkling blue. And then down in Mississippi, you know, it's the big muddy and it's this winding brown thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really amazing to see it change.
So that inspired that EP. And then how is this one, In the Belly of the Feast, how is that the follow-up to that?
Yeah, they're definitely related. So I'm glad I can talk about them both. But it's almost like this is the prequel.
Okay.
In the Belly of the Feast is a lot more wound up and anxious of a record. And
well, and it's from a time when you were kind of in a wound up anxious place, it sounds like.
Yeah, and that all was finally released when I made River Songs. So it's kind of like I'm going back in time with this record, but I do feel like they're very related. They kind of explain each other.
So did you write these songs at the same time or before you wrote River Songs or
In the Belly of the Feast is all music that I wrote like 4 years ago. And some of these songs we played with Saint anyway, but we never recorded them in the studio. So I always kind of had them and thought, like, oh, what am I going to do with these? And it felt like now was the right time.
And was there ever a separation in your head between songs that you know, like River Songs, I think, was meant to be a solo album, right?
Mm-hmm.
But had you done some of those songs with Saint anyway, too?
No, River Songs, they're all from that drive, and that was all after Saint
Afterwards.
Anyway had kind of scattered to the four corners of the globe.
So did you have that kind of separation in your mind between songs that are for a band versus for just you to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then did you think about that when you're doing, you know, these were songs you'd done with the band, now you're trying to do them solo, and how are we going to make that happen? Although you have Tony on a couple of the tracks.
I do,
and
which,
then,
yeah, is a huge blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the reason I think I took so long to record In the Belly of the Feast, is because I thought, like, well, now that I'm a, you know, cafe style singer songwriter guy, I'm not going to play these band songs by myself. But I love the song so much, I wanted to find a way to get them out into the world. So I kind of found a way to do that by doing a bunch of overdubs myself and then bringing a bunch of friends in to fill it out with me.
Yeah, and it has a very full sound. I was noticing that. It's not just you and a guitar, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking to see who was on the album, and it was just you and your Ben Cosgrove, who you're in 90 Mile Portage with,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Out east.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony, and then I think that was it, right?
Yeah, there's a backup singer in there, too.
Okay.
My good friend Sam.
Great. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. It sounds a little deeper than just you and your guitar for the most part. So are you? And it kind of sounds like you just really needed to get those songs down so that you could move on. Is that how that works for you with songs?
Yes, absolutely. And it sounds obsessive, and I guess it is, you know, kind of obsessive compulsive, but they just feel so unfinished to have something like that in your head, knowing that it hasn't, you know, hasn't been put into wax or into the record, etched into stone, if you will. And I just like having that closure in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially if you like them and you want to share them with people, this is another way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of using this to raise funds for your next project, which you already have in the works.
Yeah.
Musicians are always working on that next project.
Yeah. So it feels like there's so much going on right now, mm-hmm. and there is. But yeah, so it, that's just the way I've been working lately. I've been writing songs faster than I can get them out. So I'm trying to just put a bunch of stuff out as fast as I can, so I can really catch up with where I am in songwriting.
And is that unusual for you? Have you gone through periods where things weren't, you wanted to be writing songs and they weren't coming, or are you fairly prolific normally?
That's a good question. It does come in bursts, and there have been dry spells, and I think you really wonder, like, it's a good, like, mental health check, really, when you're like, what's going on in my life that I'm not writing songs?
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, with this most recent, the reason I have so much stuff stored up is my life was changing a lot, and I didn't have time to make albums. I was traveling, and I just wrote a bunch. So now it's time to catch up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's hear another one, and then we'll come back and talk about you spent some time in Norway, and your next project is kind of based on that, so we'll talk about that a little bit. And where are you based now? Are you still, you're near Boston still, mm-hmm. right?
Boston.
You were in Somerville, but mm-hmm. are you still there?
Yeah, Somerville, Boston.
Okay.
That's kind of like the greater Boston area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I am in Boston proper now.
Oh, you are? Okay. Mm-hmm. And how are you liking that?
Great. Mm-hmm. I love Boston. Somerville was great too. There's good music. There's kind of like the folk music scene in Boston is kind of over the river. In many ways, like Cambridge and Club Passim and Harvard Square is actually still very folk-centric. So that's what Somerville was. But I like being over the river. I commute now.
Okay.
Commute to work.
And I like that over the river, which, you know, people in Boston know exactly what that means, you know? Mm-hmm. So I love that kind of, you're a local now. I live over the river.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Someone from Boston wouldn't say that about me.
Oh, nope, not yet, huh?
Yeah, I got a long ways to go.
All right, what do you want to play next?
Well, I will do one from the next project. This is a song I wrote in Norway. Get in the right key here.
This is Jamie Kallsted live from Studio A.
Just a sentry in the service of the song. Long and quiet hours in my tower on the lawn. I don't care for a companion, but as long as you're along, I'll try to keep you satisfied. I'll try to keep you warm through the winter. There's a couple in the back room of the Chinatown Cafe. Came together to this country, they've been sitting there all day. For a dollar and a prayer, would you tell me what to say to a man who bites his tongue in such a god I'm faking way? Da 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 da.
just a soldier in the service of the crown. I ran away from home. I'm not thinking about that now. I'm just thinking about my sweetheart and the shape of the next town. There's a battle on, my saber's drawn, the right wing's coming down.
That's Jamie Kallstead live from Studio A, and one from his forthcoming project called Songs from the North Country. Is that right?
Yeah, working title, but sounding good so far.
Okay. And you have an Indiegogo going for that. And so tell me how you ended up getting to spend time in Norway. And that was in 2015, right?
Yeah, that was the fall of 2015. And it was something that I've just been wanting to do my whole life. My name, Kallstead, is Norwegian. And I've always wondered about that part of myself and what that country was like. So I finally had this break in my life where it was going to be possible, and it felt like now or never. So I just went.
Wonderful. And how long did you get to spend there?
I was there for 3 months.
And you were in a place called Kallstead.
Yes. That is a big part of the story. Because I wanted to find this little town.
Mm-hmm. And are your family origins there, or you just liked that it had the same name?
No, I mean, we assume so. But okay. There's like a break in the records. This was the cause of serious intrigue while I was over there. Because it's a crazy story, and I can't tell it all right now, I suppose.
We'll wait till that album comes out.
Yeah.
Then have it ready.
Yeah. But I did end up spending a lot of time in Kallstead. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to trace my family roots, and I ended up playing a show there, and it was incredible.
Wonderful. And how was it received?
It went over great. Nice. You know, I was writing new music over there. I got to debut some of it in front of the Norwegian crowd there in this little town. And people were very excited about the story that this random guy from the United States was coming all the way over to find this little town and was so interested in it. So I think we all had a lot of laughs about the whole thing. But it was good.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And what did you do while you were there other than playing music?
I was working on farms.
Oh, you were working on farms? Okay.
Yeah, except the Kallstead stay, where I was just adopted by this amazing family that took me in when they heard my story, this like pilgrim story. But other than the weeks I spent there, I was working on organic farms, volunteering.
Okay.
And that was just a cheap way to be in the country.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Sounds like quite an adventure.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to hearing the more of the songs that are inspired by that when that album comes out. And if people want to support that, what's the website to do that? Or should they just go to your website?
Yeah, jamiekallstead.com. Mm-hmm. There's a thing right on the front page.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss it.
Okay. And so back to your most current release, In the Belly of the Feast, which I love the wordplay of that. How did that name come about?
That is very specific as well. I was working, it's funny, I was working in a deli at the time, a deli in a coffee shop. And I was listening to Kendrick Lamar on my walk to work, and he was singing something about being in the belly of the beast. And I was like, really getting into it. And then stopped to think like, am I really in the belly of the beast? Like, what is my life? You know, what can I sing about? And I go to this like fancy coffee shop, and I'm making these ornate sandwiches, and people are coming in, and I'm like, ah, that's what I'm doing. I'm in the belly of the feast. And it was also Harvard Square, and it was also sort of the East Coast in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like an information overload kind of album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and the couple of things that you said about it, you called the songs on it a peace-seeking missile. I love that phrase. Are you talking about peace for yourself is what that was?
That's the goal.
In writing those songs and getting them out there?
Yeah, like I said, it was just, it's like a very wound up kind of album. And so, it's like the difference between Hungry Heartland for me. You know, I've thought this all out, obviously.
Which is one of your previous albums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hungry Heartland being an album about wanting more. This is an album about wanting less.
Mm-hmm. And did you find it?
Not in that moment.
Okay.
So I'm going back to that moment when I didn't have it. But I think through this whole thing, I really did. Partly it was, the Mississippi River, and partly it was Norway, and partly it was coming to terms with a lot of stuff that I really had to figure out for myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good. And has music always helped you do that, whether it's making it or listening to it, kind of helped you to come to terms with those things?
Yes. Yeah. Then that's the thing. My songs scare me sometimes because they get ahead of where, what you're able to admit to yourself, your songs will admit to you much sooner. And you write something and you think, like, that's not how I feel. But then a couple months down the road or a year later, you look back and you're like, that was how I felt.
Mm. So once you're aware of that, do you start to get a little twitchy when you're writing a song about
it? No, I like light a bunch of candles, have this whole seance experience. No, I don't do that.
But say, uh-oh, what am I going through here that I'm not acknowledging?
Mm-hmm.
We're getting to the therapy portion of the session now, Jamie.
It's my favorite part about coming to KMD.
Just letting you know. Well, and then the other thing that you mentioned, I thought you said, I was dealing, I don't remember how you said it, but something about slapping on the red bandana, and that just made me smile because you always used to wear the red bandana when you were in St. Anyway. How did that come about? So that made me wonder about that. The significance of the red bandana.
Yeah, we're getting into the lore now. This is like an inside joke with a friend, with Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Because we now look back at that time when I was writing these songs as that red bandana was like a distress flag. Like I felt like the need, I had to like look different. I had to be something different than what I was. I wasn't happy with what I was. And so I thought by either, wearing a bandana or growing my hair out really long, I could become what I was trying to be. And then looking back on it, that was not the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very much a time and place for me.
Well, and you're awfully young still, and you were quite young during that band. So I think that's something a lot of people go through during that time where they're trying to mm-hmm. figure out who they are, where they belong,
mm-hmm.
trying this out. That
mm-hmm.
didn't work. So
mm-hmm.
I think you're in good company.
Yeah, that's what I hope. And that's why that's why I do this, because I was feeling these things and I put the music out and I hope someone else finds it when they need it
mm-hmm.
or if it's useful to them at a certain time.
Nice. Let's hear another one. What do you want to finish up with here?
That's a good question. I'll do, as long as I'm thinking about being home, I'll do Big Black Road from my first album. Because this song kind of has that whole trajectory in like 3 minutes that we just discussed. So. I can feel it coming, another plastic cup of beer. I don't even know what I am doing here. All the tables are unstable, and the stereo is clear. And every man must reckon with his will to disappear. Well, I was finally 18 when I first left my home. Now I keep on leaving, but I never seem to go. And I feel like a stowaway waiting in the hold. If she really loved me, wouldn't she just let me know? I am empty, I am broken down. There's nothing that'll keep me now. Just like a river on its crooked way south, there's a big black road running through this town.
So let me paint my masterpiece and sell it up for cash, or burn it as an effigy and scatter all the ash over every heavy smile, every morning in my past. Look out for that stowaway, he's climbing up the mast. I am empty, I'm not broken down, there's nothing that'll keep me now, just like a river on its crooked way south. There's a big black road running through this town. Yeah, there's a big black road running through this town.
That is Jamie Kallestad. I think I've been saying it wrong the whole time, Jamie. It's Kallestad, right? Is that right?
I say Kallestad.
Kallestad.
In Norway, they said Kallestad.
Okay, so I'm just going to keep saying it wrong. Kallestad. Kallestad. I would like to get it right at least once. That would be good. And live from Studio A, and a tune, you said that was from, is that from Hungry Heartland?
Yeah, Hungry Heartland.
Nice. So you're doing the fundraiser for that next album, and do you have, is it just as soon as I get that money, I'm putting it out, or how, is it ready to go, or do you still have to make the album?
Yeah, so the songs are ready to go. The album is all kind of composed in my head, and I like how it sounds in my head, but the next step is getting it out, and I really want to release the album come wintertime, maybe November or something, because it's, you know, the songs are written in such a chilly place, that seems appropriate.
That does make sense, for sure. And in the meantime, you can catch Jamie tonight. He's going to be playing at Sir Benedict's Tavern in Duluth, an early-ish show, 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. 6 in the evening. When you do solo sets, do you slip any St. Anyway stuff in there, or does it not fit your solo thing? How does that work?
Yeah, usually after I've had a couple rounds, St. Anyway stuff starts coming out.
Does it? Okay.
And that, I think, is probably how it should be.
Yeah. But you also have, you know, you have your several albums to choose from as well now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a mixed repertoire, I would mm-hmm. assume. All right. And then tomorrow you're down in the cities and then back out east.
Yep.
How often do you get back this way, usually, these days?
Not often enough. But I'm going to definitely come back this summer and then the winter, I'm sure. I don't know. The Boundary Waters call me back. Skiing here calls me back, and then of course family.
Right.
In no particular order. I come back to see my family, so I'm here all the time.
Yeah, well, that's great. Thank you so much, Jamie. It's great to have you.
Glad to be here.
As always. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Katie Montgomery, Aaron Welch, and Cheyenne Vavrina. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.